Hello?
Mr. President, there's nothing we've had in yet from the meeting which the full OAS committee was having with Garcia Godoy. They were going to meet with him this afternoon and try to slow him down, but we'll keep out on top of it and see what we can, see anything we ought to be doing about it.
All right. Now, have you seen this story out of CBS, Thailand?
Yes, I did see that. It's going to give us trouble in Thailand, and we've been trying to stay away from that officially.
Have you seen the full thing or just what they ran?
I've only seen the short summary of the story itself. I haven't seen that.
I think we ought to have Bill Moyer read to you after he talks to CBS.
Right.
The story as submitted from out there.
Right.
It really wrecks McNamara. It says very vicious things, that he's taken all the NATO bombs and he's used all of them, and that he can't get any jet pilots, and they're all resigning and
service. The story I was looking at was about the bombs. That's a part of it.
They just lifted that part out.
I see.
It says the weather has been good every day, and we say it hasn't, and just lots of stuff. But the bad things are that it stops us from using. It gets us in trouble in Laos. It gets us in trouble in Thailand, and then it gets us in trouble with McNamara, misleading the country, and all of which is untrue.
Yeah.
Now it's a serious breach of security.
Mm-hmm.
I'm unsophisticated in these things, but I rather think that we are going to suffer a concentrated enemy propaganda barrage.
Mm-hmm.
They are circulating. Hoover came to me today with a proposed release, which I killed. That goes into the charge that Hoover and Walter Jenkins have misled me, and I'm under the domination of people that have questionable moral habits, and that they have sent that to certain selected congressmen. They have traced it to the Soviet Union, their propaganda agency, but they're doing that on the president, and I think that's something you ought to look at.
I sure would like to see
my
that.
My people tell me that the Franco story this morning was Scotty Reston's feel, unquote,
yeah,
of your feel in a conversation he had with you last Friday. I guess it's last Friday.
Huh.
He says, I just feel that Dean Rusk's heart is not in this. I had a talk with him. He called in his staff. Then he had the head of the Bureau, Wicker,
yeah,
and himself call the White House correspondents. And he says, Dean gave me the feel that he didn't believe in this. And that's just my feel. They said, well, what does he say? Does he say he didn't recommend it to Johnson when he's down there, that he was against the pause? And, well, he says, I just have the feel. And
well, I've been dealing with Reston at arm's length, and I didn't talk to him very much when he was in, and I don't know how he could have gotten any feel except that I wasn't very talkative. He wanted to know specific contacts, and I wouldn't talk to him about it. And he wanted to know about contacts with behind the curtain, and I wouldn't talk to him about it. And I refused to tell him anything that I wouldn't tell any other newspaper man that asked me the same question. And he goes away pretty grumpy, I'm afraid, when he talks to me. But there was nothing that was said there that would cause him to give him any evidence of his feelings. I can't guarantee how he's going to feel, but
the AP has got a very mean story on it, and Bill says it's moving on the wire now to the effect that there are great divisions. Bill thinks that there's an undercurrent in the State Department and in the Pentagon, hawks, that think that we've made a terrific mistake, and they want to use any substantial fellow they can along that line to get us to cease quick and do more. I have not read that story, but I think it's one he is now talking to CBS Stanton. And when he gets through, he will call you, and I will ask him to review with you the AP story. I rather think he ought to leak, and perhaps you ought to leak too, a story which I believe our diaries will support, namely, that you and McNamara and Bundy and Ball all recommended a pause, and recommended rather strongly, and I did not buy it in one or two sessions.
Mm-hmm.
That I did call for Wheeler and told Wheeler what I had in mind and reviewed it with Wheeler.
Right.
And told him we would do our bombing in Laos on the trail, that we would do reconnaissance, and we'd take advantage of these holidays, and we'd take advantage of the weather thing, and we'd make clear our view so nobody could successfully challenge our desire for peace. And while Wheeler did not buy it at all, Wheeler said he could understand it, and that he didn't think we'd suffer any military problems. Now,
the Merriman Smith story this morning brings out most of that.
Yes, that was the background to hear us.
That's right. George Bundy did it.
Yeah, and so I think that then I talked to Taylor. Were you aware of that conversation?
Yes, you told us about that.
I talked to Taylor, and Taylor said that he did not urge it or recommend it, but now was the time to do it. So I think we ought to say that the president's principal advisors all recommended the course of action that we have taken. Even Goldberg agreed with me when I told him what we were doing. Harriman agreed with me. You agreed with me. Bundy agreed. McNamara. And they had all previously recommended it.
Right.
And they all did recommend it. And they all still recommend it.
Right.
And that we think that the reception by other governments and other peoples, with the exception of two or three columnists like Joe Alsop, has been good. Didn't you say that in your judgment it exceeded your expectations?
Yes, very much so. Very much so. I think the fact is that on the Capitol's visit, your list and my list, if we made up a list of 30, would have varied, I think, on two or possibly three capitals. And two of those we did not visit, one of them we did, and on that one you were right. I was nervous about what the Vatican reaction would be to a visit, and you were right on that one. The other two were not visited, where I thought we'd disclose some secrecy going on.
Yeah.
Well, I'm seeing the time people here in a few minutes on their cars.
Now, they're trying to do a very mischievous thing.
I gather
they're going around. They had Westmoreland, you see, as the man of the year.
Yeah.
And our friend Lodge, not only is working with his wife problem, but he's working on the pause problem, too. And I think I hope that cable got out to Lodge, and I think it's necessary to follow it pretty soon with a rather strong one. And say, I cannot always tell you exactly how to handle everything in Saigon, and I know y'all can't look at the world from where you are. For that reason, we have a president and a commander-in-chief to make these decisions. But before as he makes them, he wants your views fully, and he wants you to know the world picture before you jump the gun and not be that blunt. Therefore, I'm sending Harriman to see you and to review with you not just the precinct picture, but the world picture.
Right, right.
The ward, not just the ward or the locale picture, but the other picture.
Right.
And I think we've got to tell Harriman in our instructions, and you've got to make it. I thought you were cable to this Czech, and who else was it?
Sweden.
God almighty, those are powerful. Man, those are powerful. It's a shame that you just can't do that to the public all the time. World, you ought to be on early bird. I see you're going to be on early bird in Meet the Press internationally.
Oh, I didn't.
Yes, that's an hour, NBC. Now, that's really going to, that's the voice of, we ought to really put maximum promotion on that with every embassy and with everybody else, that hour thing. When is that?
That was postponed. It's coming up shortly. I had to.
I saw a big story in the paper about this morning and saying that one of the first times this has happened, and that Meet the Press is going to be on internationally, and it's going to be moved because of it to 6 o'clock in the evening.
I have to check on that date. I don't have it.
But time anyway.
Yeah.
Time is Lodge's old employer, and Donovan is.
Well, Donovan's just come back from out there.
Yes, and Larson, you know.
That date is January 23rd. I'll be on Telstar.
Now here, Dean. Here's one other thing before you leave. I just don't see how we're going to survive past the second through the Tet period. What I'm trying to survive is the Russian, and if he filibusters, I can't help it, but a reasonable time. Now, I'm going to try to suggest that I go up. The only thing I've got to survive on is either Security Council or the George Ball proposition, both of which I think are rather dangerous, but or anything else you can devise in the meantime. Or this would help me some if I told them to have their session Monday at the Congress. And we would brief the leaders Tuesday.
Right.
And Wednesday I would go up with the State of the Union. By Wednesday night, that fellow ought to be out of there from Thursday to Wednesday, and I ought to know better what I'm talking about Wednesday night
right.
Than I would if I talked Monday.
Right.
Don't you think so?
Yes, I think so.
I think it's rather essential that I put off that State of the Union just as long as I can in the light of the Paul's thing.
Yes, I think that's right.
Now, do you see anything working at all? You wouldn't give 5 cents for anything that's happened, would you?
Only 5 cents, we're talking about dollars. But I think that there just may be something tickling here on this Hungarian wire. Just may be something. We haven't heard back from them, but...
What about the Indian thing?
Well, that if it's true, we haven't had Shastra's official message. But if it's true, as stated, that is also some significance. And I don't discount completely yet Kosygin's remark to Harriman about the 17th parallel. In other words, I don't think that it's completely hopeless here in this situation, because the other side's got some very rough problems, just as we have.
Don't you think, then, finally, before we conclude, don't you think you ought to pick out the best leak you can? Talk about how mischievous and how below the belt and how it serves enemy purposes to say the Secretary of State and the President have disagreed on something that
that's
you've
right,
gone to me twice to urge.
And I'll try to make that very clear with the time people, because they somehow, I gather from the grapevine, they've sort of picked me out as a fellow that they think is on their side, and I've got to get them straightened out on that. Well, I
think at one point you can leave with time too is this. So I don't know who's going to supply the president with guns and men and money and so forth. But I assume it's Congress, and I think he rather knows the Congress about as much as any of the rest of us. But I would implore you gentlemen to understand. I don't know where you've been since he's been president. But no one has charged around here that whether it's in Guantanamo, or whether it's in Panama, or whether it's in the Dominican Republic, that he is reluctant to use power.
Yeah.
I'd just like to remind you that. And if you have any doubts, you might go see Mr. Fulbright and some of the